prepared to give, to have those words of comfort and cheer to share with our dear brethren. Now, dear friends, we want to start looking at our Heavenly Father and what He gives. And our Heavenly Father, we're going to start with the subject of creation. Because it is amazing, just as you look at the world, the things that we've been given in creation. And we'd like to ask Brother Jimmy Cawthorn now if he would read for us. This is actually hymn 89, the Divine Goodness.
High in the heavens, eternal God, thy goodness is full of glory shines. Thy truth shall break through every cloud that veils and darkens thy designs. Forever firm thy justice stands, as mountains their foundations keep. Wise are the wonders of thy hands, thy judgments are mighty deep. Thy providence is kind and large, both man and beast by bounty share. The whole creation is thy charge, but saints are thy peculiar care.
Thank you, Brother Jimmy. Dear Ben, this is wonderful words, you know, these distilled thoughts of our brethren who've gone before. Wise are the wonders of thy hands, and the whole creation is thy care. You know, dear brethren, we look at creation, we think how wonderful creation is. Isn't it hard to imagine what it will be like when it's perfected, when we see how beautiful it is now? And we'd like to consider just for a moment, brethren, a few of these things. You know, brethren, our Heavenly Father and Jesus, without Him, was not anything made that was made as the Logos. And you think what a joy it was, brethren, to design a lamb. We've been talking about that. Or a butterfly. Or the other features of creation. But think also how they shared in giving, that the animals were created, but to Adam was given the privilege of naming those animals. And brethren, our Lord Jesus is pictured in Proverbs as speaking of man's home, as He and the Father rejoiced in the habitation that they created for man. In every way, the earth was prepared to be just the right home for mankind. And we'll see that evidence, dear brethren, when we get to the kingdom. But, you know, but it's not just in gift giving, but the Father gives just exactly the right gift adapted to the individual, to the need of the moment, and in that very due time when it's needed, as we'll see. The scriptures also say, many, O Lord, are thy marvelous works. And then, you know, in creation, the scriptures speak of everything God created was good. And what He created, it speaks of the teeming life that was made. And Ben, do you ever consider, as you look at the fish, look at the beauty of the colors of the fish in this picture. And dear brethren, you know, mankind doesn't live under the sea to enjoy those colors. And yet God created this beauty that we could see really only when restitution, when that time would come and mankind could really explore the depths of the earth. You know, but it's amazing the hidden beauties and things that man had no idea about for centuries and millennia. Now, this is very hard to see, brethren. We apologize, but this is a picture just of the birds of the air. And, you know, our Lord asked, you know, consider how the Father clothed the birds of the air. You know, we have the red cardinals, the yellow goldfinches, the white doves, the bluebirds, all the colors of the rainbow you can find in the bird realm, and the different habits, the different habitats that they have. And, brother, so much of creation was given to teach us lessons of the Father's goodness, as we'll see as we go also. But, brethren, such variety. Our Lord is, He daily loadeth us with benefits. Our brethren, the plants that we have. You know, brethren, our Father designed that the plants would flower in spring, summer, and fall. They'd flower whether they grew in the ocean or the desert or high in the mountains. You know, brethren, it's amazing just, again, the expanse of what our Father created. And then even as the plants seemingly die in the fall to color the autumn, the leaves and so forth. But these are all basic things to us. But, you know, He who formed the eye and created the ear, He also created the beauty that could be appreciated by that part of the human creation. It's really remarkable when you consider, dear brother, how everything works together. Brethren, also the meat of the field, the things that the Father gave for mankind's nourishment. You know, brethren, we can eat oatmeal every day or, you know, some kind of tasteless porridge maybe, but the Father arranged it that we have the fruits, the various tastes, the vegetables, the herbs for seasoning, and also things like the wheat and the corn that just are so basic to mankind's nourishment. In the long ages when mankind had to deal with famine, there were things that could even sustain them if they had just even a little bit, if they just had wheat, for example. But all the variety of tastes that we have. And then as we look at the human creation, again, this may be hard to see, but the Lord made it possible to enjoy sounds like the sound of a harp or the sound of voices singing. You know, brethren, do you ever think what a miracle it is that we appreciate harmony? That we can sing songs in parts and to hear that beauty, that our ears are formed to appreciate that? Or brethren, think of the fragrance that the Father gives. You know, in every way we're designed to enjoy, mankind is designed to enjoy this creation that was made. Consider the touch, the caress of a loved one to a child, and how the memories that that creates. There's a dear brother in our class who remembers the cologne that his father wore. Anytime he smells that, it draws back blessed memories of his father. And he remembers the touch of his father's hand at a time when he really needed some comfort and encouragement. These things are wonderful, brethren, because they tie into our emotions. It's not just that we can sense, but we can have joy. We can appreciate art. There's so many things that add to just not just the beauty that's given, but the fact that man can appreciate it. Even taste, dear brethren, you know, it's amazing. All of the senses given for mankind's pleasure to enjoy creation. And then, brethren, we have the inanimate creation. You know, dear friends, you can enjoy how the Lord paints the skies with the rainbows, the auroras, or even the night sky to see the stars, the works of his hands again. Buried in the earth, again, hidden away from man, are the jewels. Or we wanted to tell some of the brethren, on the left-hand side, there's a picture of a geode. I don't know if all the brethren know about geodes, but a geode is a particular formation in the soil that has crystals inside, although it has a rough exterior. It's really a wonderful illustration of how man looks on the outward appearance, but God sees the heart, the beauty that's within. Or friends, you think of the snowflakes, the detail that our Father has in creation to make every snowflake unique. And to see the crystal pattern that is there. And brethren, how long does the snow last? Not very long. Or even the frost on the leaves. We get up in the morning sometimes and we see frost. It's a beautiful thing, and yet it lasts just a very short time. This is like our Father, isn't it? Every blessing, even the short ones, are done in such detail and such beauty. Friends, even the destructive forces, isn't there a beauty to a volcano or a beauty to a storm? All of his works, brethren, are beautiful. We'd like to have red here, friends, because we think this really sums up that all nature speaks of our God. We'll ask Brother Steve Cavanaugh to read for us, and this is another hymn that we have.
There is a God. There is a God, all nature speaks, through earth and air, sea and sky. See, from the clouds of his glory breaks, when first beams of morning arise. The rising sun, serenely bright, over the wide world's extended frame, inscribes and in characters of light his mighty maker's glorious name. Ye curious minds who roam abroad and trace creation's wonder, oh, confess the footsteps of your God and bow before him and adore.
Thank you, Brother Steve. Dear friends, Psalm 143:5 says, I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. And friends, we think about the shepherds in the field. You know, they got to know the nature of the animals very well, the characteristics of the sheep and of the lambs. And during at night, they were out in the fields with the animals looking at the heavens. Is it any surprise that one like David, who lived a shepherd's life as a boy, could write such a beautiful psalm as, "The Lord is my shepherd"? You know, brethren, our Lord's creation inspires so much devotion in our hearts. And we want to meditate and muse on the works of His hands. Not only the temporal things that we see, dear brethren, but also the new creation. To consider how fearfully and wonderfully the new creation is made. I mean, we're going through that process, brethren, and the Lord deals with us along the same principles in which He works with creation, as we see. Well, friends, we'd like to pause here and sing together and really consider the words of our next hymn, because we think we can see our Father's faithfulness in all that He created. So we're going to sing. This is hymn 356, if you have difficulty seeing the screen. But we're going to sing together, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." To consider now the aspect of our Lord's faithfulness in the gift of His Son. And dear friends, one thing that we don't often talk about, but You know, the world doesn't know. They know a little bit about God's gift of Jesus, but they really don't understand even the basics of the ransom. They don't know about the two salvations. And friends, it makes us consider sometimes what a gift it is, and we talked about yesterday, just the gift of knowing the fullness of Jesus' sacrifice. And then the world quotes all the time, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." And yet they really don't understand the love that motivated the gift. We don't always consider the emotional nature of our Father and how costly it was to give his Son. But he did give us the picture of Abraham and his son Isaac to help us to appreciate the emotion that motivated that gift. We'd like to ask Brother Gregory to read for us from reprint 5284 about God's costly gift.
"This gift of divine love was another indication of the cost to our Heavenly Father of his great and marvelous plan. The illustration of a parent's love assists us in comprehending the cost of this manifestation of Jehovah's love. With what tender and yearning emotions of love must he have made this sacrifice of his beloved son, in whom he was well pleased. The pangs of a father's love when the arrows of death pierced the heart of his beloved son. When our dear Lord Jesus said, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death,' and again, 'Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.' Did it touch no sympathetic chord in the heart of the Eternal? Yea, verily, the unfeigned love of the Father sympathetically shared the Lord's sorrow." Matthew 26:38-39. The principle taught in the divine word that true love weeps with those that weep and rejoices with those who rejoice is one which is also exemplified in the divine character. God could and did sacrifice at great cost to his loving fatherly nature the dearest treasure of his heart. And thus he manifested, from 1 John 4:9, the great love wherewith he loved his deceived and fallen creatures. If this sacrifice cost him nothing, if it were impossible for his mind to realize any painful emotion even under such a circumstance, then the gift of his son would be no manifestation of his love. For that which costs nothing manifests nothing."
Thank you. And so, brethren, we can realize a little bit more the fullness of that scripture, "For God so loved the world, he was willing to give him who was daily his delight for mankind's benefit, for a creation that had fallen into sin." We marvel at that, don't we, dear brethren, as we consider. One of our hymns says, "Jesus, the gift of gifts, appears." Why? To show that God is love. Jesus was really God manifest as love to mankind. 2 Corinthians 9:15, King James says, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." We believe the thought there really is his indescribable gift. Words fail us, don't they, in this? Well, brethren, we'd like to share together a really wonderful hymn. We understand this was Brother Russell's favorite hymn, "Son of My Soul." And, brethren, we think it really captures a lot about this gift of Jesus, both from our Father's perspective and also from Jesus' perspective. So we invite you to consider the words of this hymn as we sing together, "Son of My Soul."
Turn the volume up.
Oh,
Just so beautiful. And they call to mind the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And this is the abounding giver we have in our Father, not only the gift of his Son, but to give us all things that pertain to life and godliness as well. Let's consider a few of these, brethren, just from the Scriptures. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered into a holy place which human hands have made, a mere type of the reality. He has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. Why? For us. John 1:11-12, he came into his own and his own received him not. Probably one of the saddest scriptures that we have. And yet, as many as received him, to them gave he power to be sons of God. Brethren, you've all been called into the divine family. It's because of the gift of our Lord. Not only his sacrifice on the cross, but his intercession for the church as well. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He gave us the Holy Spirit by which we know him and by which or through which we have the truth. John 16:23-24, in most solemn truth I tell you that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. As yet you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your hearts may be filled with gladness. Brethren, there the opportunity to enter into our Father's presence in prayer. And brethren, really, it is for our joy that all these things have been given. And brethren, when we fail, think of the scripture. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. But brethren, we'd like to quote here also, I think one of the most precious mannas is the January 4th manna. It has to do with time. Sometimes our difficulties may be things we feel we need don't come exactly at the time that we might think they're needed. The Lord cares for the timing, doesn't he? January 4th manna. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Time is an important element in all of God's plans. We are not, therefore, to be disappointed when the test of endurance is applied, while the blessings we crave tarry long. God took time. Now think of this, brethren. Our helper is him who made heaven and earth. God took time to frame the world, to fit it for human habitation. Time to give the world its necessary experience with evil. Time to prepare for the advent of Christ as the world's Redeemer. Time for the preparation of the church to share in his glorious reign. And time must be allowed for the shaping and adjusting of the individual affairs of his people. Now think of that, brethren. Our Father's timing is not just the large plan, but it's adjusting the individual affairs of his people. And we've got to read the last part, brethren. God has not forgotten when the answers to our prayers seem to tarry long. He has all these things freely to give to us, but even waits until we're the most ready to make the fullest benefit of what he gives to us. God has not forgotten when the answers to our prayers seem to tarry long. He who heeds the sparrows fall and numbers the hairs of your heads is not indifferent to the faintest call, or the smallest necessity of his humblest child. That's how far our Father's grace reaches, dear brethren. We'd like to have Sister Barbara Hughes now read, if she would, a poem called I Am Only a Little Sparrow.
Okay. Luke 12:6-7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. But even the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. New Revised Standard Version. The sparrow. I am only a little sparrow, a bird of low degree. My life is of little value, but the dear Lord cares for me. He gave me a coat of feathers. It is very plain, I know, with never a speck of crimson, for it was not made for show. But it keeps me warm in winter, and it shields me from the rain. Were it bordered with gold or purple, perhaps it would make me vain. I have no barn nor storehouse. I neither sow nor reap. God gives me a sparrow's portion, but never a seed to keep. If my meal is sometimes scanty, close picking makes it sweet. I have always enough to feed me, and life is more than meat. I know there are many sparrows all over the world we are found, but our Heavenly Father knoweth when one of us falls to the ground. Though small, we are not forgotten. Though weak, we are never afraid. Sorry. I got it. For we know that the dear Lord keepeth the life of the creatures he made.
Thank you, Sister Barbara. And dear brethren, as we consider the sparrow and that our Father knows even when the smallest sparrow falls to the ground, should we doubt when we feel that we are the least of the Lord's people, that he cares for us just as well, that he is for us to make our calling election sure, and that he and our Lord Jesus want us to make our calling election sure? Well, Ben, we'd like to have read here, this is an excerpt from the sixth volume, page 183 to 185, and we're going to ask Sister Pam just to step forward and read this for us, if she would.
You can step forward. Okay. Sixth volume, 183. Do we not see, brethren, that God has a great and wonderful plan which he is carrying forward? Do we not see that having determined on the selection of a certain class for cooperation in his plan, he is favoring us in that he has revealed to us the terms and conditions justifying and calling us with a heavenly calling? This means that God is for us, that he wishes us to be of this elect class, that he has made every arrangement necessary whereby we may attain a position in it. Do we sometimes feel that although the Lord is for us, Satan and sin in our own weaknesses through heredity are all against us, seeking to ensnare and stumble us? Let us reflect that the Almighty God being on our side, none of these oppositions need cause us fear or trepidation, for He is abundantly able to carry us through them all. Let us look back and note, if He would do all this for us as sinners, He would do much more for us now that we have become His children. We may be sure that He who changes not still loves us, is still for us, and will use His power to cause all things to operate for our highest spiritual welfare and for our ultimate attainment of a place in the new creation, if we abide in Him in faith, in love, and in heart obedience.
Dear brethren, that last she mentioned is our part. If we abide in Him in faith, in love, and in heart obedience. Now, brethren, this is pretty powerful that God and Jesus are for us. And we want to look now, brethren, at the portion from the standpoint of our Lord Jesus. We'd like to quote here about Jesus' gift of Himself, and also that we are friends with our Lord Jesus. John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, because all that I have heard of the Father I have made known to you. This is the one, brethren. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He's not ashamed to call us friends. And we'd like to consider, brethren, the hymn Together I Found a Friend. Hymn 129, I Found a Friend. Some of these pictures may be hard to see. I don't know if anyone knows what this is a picture of. This is an artist's depiction of the crucifixion of Peter, who felt so ashamed all his life for denying the Lord that when he was crucified, tradition has it, he was crucified upside down because he thought himself unworthy to be crucified just in the same way as our Master. So that love of his friend Jesus carried through to the end with him. He never parted from him. And then this hymn has some really wonderful sentiments. You know, he gave his life to save me. There's really three parts, brethren, we think in this hymn. He gave his life to save me. We can consider it from the standpoint of the Logos just even coming to earth. He gave up what he had with the Father to come and rescue mankind. He also gave himself in the healing of the sick, in the words that he taught. He was continually, in 3.5 years, but we marvel at this, every day with the view in mind of how it would end, he was laying that life down, giving up all that he had to bless and to teach and to point to the kingdom. And then finally, of course, on the cross, he gave himself fully. He experienced both the terrible sorrows of Gethsemane, but also the separation and fellowship from the Father. And he did that all to give mankind the gift of life, and also to give the church the opportunity to share with him. We might consider this, and we have a couple of quotes we asked Brother Bill Davis, if he would, to read for us now.
This comes from reprint 3000. Previous to his human existence, our blessed Lord was the honored agent of Jehovah in all his mighty works, that he was his only begotten and well-beloved son, his bosom friend and confidential companion, ever in fullest harmony, sympathy, and cooperation with him. And whether we contemplate the vastness and grandeur of the physical universe or the innumerable hosts of intelligent creatures, angelic and human, which by the power delegated to him, he brought into existence, or the grandeur of the heavenly court in the presence of the divine Father, the great emperor of the universe, we are overwhelmed with a sense of the glory that he had with the Father before he humbled himself to the comparatively low estate of manhood. Yet he that was so rich for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9.
Thank you, Brother Bill. That is worth a lot of contemplation, brethren. He that was rich for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And brethren, that's really the essence of our consecration. We're laying aside our life that the world of mankind could be blessed, that we can share in that work in the kingdom. Now, brethren, our Lord Jesus is also referred to in the hymns as the sinner's friend. We'd like to ask Brother Bill to continue. This is quoting from hymn 212.
The sinner's friend, one who is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His love is beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. Which of all our friends to save us could or would have shed his blood? But our Savior died to have us reconciled in him to God. When he lived on earth abased, friend of sinners was his name. Now above all glory raised, he rejoices in the same.
Thank you, Brother Bill. And brethren, we know this very well of how he gave himself for mankind, how he is the friend of sinners. Now, the hymn that we sang earlier said not only that he gave his life to save me, but it also said his own self he gave me. And brethren, that's a real privilege we have as we walk in the narrow way, to walk with our Lord Jesus, to have his counsel, to consider, brethren, what he experienced on this earth. And we'd like to ask Brother Sam Watts now if he could read for us a little talk with Jesus.
A little talk with Jesus, how it smooths the rugged road, how it seems to help me onward when I faint beneath the load. When my heart is crushed with sorrow and my eyes with tears are dim, there's naught can yield me comfort like a little talk with him. I tell him I'm weary and I fain would be at rest, but I still wait his bidding, for his way is always best. When his promise ever cheers me, in all the cares of life, I'm coming soon in glory to end thy toil and strife. Ah, that is what I'm mourning, his lovely face to see, and I'm not afraid to say it, I know he's wanting me. He gave his life a ransom to make me all his own, and he'll never forget his promise to me, his purchased one. The way is sometimes weary, to yonder dreary climb, but a little talk with Jesus has helped me many a time. The more I've come to know him, and all his grace explore, it sets me ever longing to know him more and more.
And dear friends, is that how you feel? That it sets you ever longing to know him more and more? Do you remember in the Lord's Prayer in the last night of his earthly life, he prayed, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and the Son which thou hast sent." But in that's part of our walk too, of ever learning more about our Heavenly Father and our dear Master. And then that's really a prospect for eternity that Scripture points out. Now, brethren, the hymn that we sang earlier also said, I think it's one of the most beautiful lines for us, "Not that I have, my own I call. I hold it for the giver. All we have we're to be wise stewards of." And friends, we'd like to consider again here in song, we'd like to consider how the wise men and their gifts, how they show for us a pattern even in our walk. This is hymn number 16, for those of you following along in the books. Hymn number 16. It's called Prayer of the Consecrated. Hymn number 16. It's as high as it can go, Brother Greg. Sister Pam. Brethren, isn't that a beautiful thought? All our costliest treasures bring. You know, brethren, Brother Burns told a story about a woman who was giving away some things she had that she didn't need. She had a coat that she gave, but she looked at that coat, and on that coat there were these beautiful buttons. And as she looked at that coat and those buttons, she thought, I want to keep those buttons. And she cut the buttons off the coat. She still donated the coat, but she kept the buttons. Now, friends, you can ask yourself, what do you do with a coat when you don't have buttons on? It really doesn't serve the purpose intended without the buttons. And the point Brother Burns made is that we want to bring our gifts and our sacrifices to be as full as they can. Like our Heavenly Father designed creation, made everything just fit. We want our gifts also to be full and wonderful sacrifices to Him, even in our weak and imperfect flesh. So we want to bring our costliest treasures. And brother, the chief treasure we have again is our heart. It's the love that motivates the gift that the Father is looking for. Now, does anybody know what we have in the picture up here? It's a story you've all read. I know you've all read it.
2 minutes?
The two widow's mites. Now, Ben, look at the perspective, how small the widow's mites are. That's a picture of actual coins from back in that day. And you can see from the perspective of the hand just how little they are. Now, Ben, we'd like to quote here. This is from the sixth volume, page 343. And this is in the section we were studying in class about the widow's mite. We believe that the Lord appreciates today, as much as He ever did, the spirit which was in the poor widow who cast two mites into the treasury, and whose self-denial, as exhibited in this small offering, our Lord declared, placed her in His estimation, which therefore means in the estimation of the Father, as a giver, on the very highest plane. After His own heart, she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. In her way, therefore, she was doing for the general cause much along the same line that our Lord Himself was doing. Now, brethren, I got to read that again. This has got to sink in, okay? This is quite a statement. She was doing, in her way, therefore, she was doing for the general cause much along the same line that our Lord Himself was doing. He was laying His life down on the cross, brethren. That's where He was headed. This is the comparison that's being made. He was giving not merely a living, but laying down life itself daily, hourly, in the service of others. And finally at Calvary, in the fullest and completest sense, He finished His work. Well, brethren, this is pretty amazing. But we're going to read the account. This is from the New American Standard, from Mark 12:41-44. And Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the multitude were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amounted to a cent. And calling His disciples to Him, He said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on. Now, brethren, this is really something. She saw the temple arrangement, of course, was just about ready to pass away. But that is what she knew. And that was how she had to serve the Father. And she gave really all her living in faith to the Father. And in that way, she was doing like Jesus did, giving up her all. Now, brethren, if you only have two mites, don't you want to give that? Doesn't matter if it's two little mites. If you're giving with all your heart, with all your devotion, that's the point behind this story. And brethren, what we really love about our Master in this picture, this subject of giving, when we look out at the selfish world, it's a very difficult lesson, or it's a very hard lesson for them to see. You know, children at Christmas, boy, they love to receive, don't they? They have to be taught this lesson that it's more blessed to give than receive. So, brethren, our Lord Jesus here is watching. He can read the hearts. How did He know she gave her all? Did she tell Him? He saw it in her heart, in her devotion. And, brethren, he picked that out because he wanted the disciples to realize they were worried about who would be chiefest in the kingdom of heaven. And he pointed at the widow to show, here's the most important spirit. You know, he who would be the chiefest among you would be the greatest servant, is the point. And so, brethren, our Lord Jesus is marking the devotion in our hearts as well. What is it that motivates our gifts to our Father? And it doesn't matter, brethren, whether we have tremendous things to give or only a very little. Maybe it's only a prayer on behalf of the brethren. Doesn't matter. It's the love that motivates that gift. We'd like to ask Sister Lee, if she would, to read a poem only.
Only. It was only a blossom, a bed of bloom.
They brought a glimpse of summer to the little
girl's
room. It was only a glad
good morning as she passed along the way, but it spread the morning's glory over the livelong day. Only a song,
but the music,
those
simple, pure, and sweet,
brought back the better pathway of restless, roving feet. Only, in our blind wisdom, how dare we
say it all,
since
God alone can tell us which is the great or small.
Thank you, Sister Lee. Dear brethren, have you ever had the experience of a difficult trial and you were going somewhere and a person just smiled at you and that smile became a pick-me-up? That you were toiling over your experience and just that little smile that someone thought enough to give you a smile just lifted you up. Sometimes it's a mere little thing like that. And dear friends, we love the way this ends, that only God can tell us which is the great or which is the small sacrifice. You know, but we wonder sometimes if we could all see each other the way the Heavenly Father sees us, just in that way. You know, those up here that speak might really seem very small in comparison, and some we don't maybe talk to as much or realize as much the devotion might be very grand in the Lord's eyes. It's the Lord that sees, really. So we don't want any of us to feel we shouldn't have the test of comparison, but the point is to look at the giving in our Master and to try to emulate that as much as we can. And don't disdain the small things, the small gifts. We'd like to ask Sister Sandy Hendricks now to read a poem called A Morning Hymn. And then the thought we'd like you to really take is that even the little gifts sometimes become large by the Lord's grace.
Morning Hymn. O God, I thank Thee for each sight of beauty that Thy hand doth give. For sunny skies and air and light, O God, I thank Thee that I live. That life I consecrate to Thee, and ever as the day is born, on wings of joy my soul would flee, and thank Thee for another morn. Another day in which to cast some silent deed of love abroad, that greatening as it journeys past, may do some earnest work for God. Another day to do and dare, to tax anew my growing strength, to arm my soul with faith and prayer, and so reach heaven and be at length.
Dear brethren, we really appreciate the line that says, another day in which to cast some silent deed of love abroad, that greatening as it journeys past may do some earnest work for God. And dear brethren, I'm sure in your memories you can think of brethren that maybe did a little thing, but you thought about that little gift that they had, or that little example they were, and it became a power in your consecration that helped you in your walk to think back to how you saw this sister care for the sick, or how you saw this brother take an interest in those that were heavy-hearted. You know, Brethren, that's even examples can be a gift as we live our consecrated life along the way. And as an example, dear brethren, if you look at this picture, anyone know what this is a picture of? It's the feeding of the 5,000. Brethren, do you know how that started? Did Jesus have the loaves and the fishes with him? No, a little boy had the loaves and the fishes. The little boy was willing to give those to our Lord, and what did our Lord do? He created enough to feed the 5,000. Brethren, we don't know in our little gifts how they might be used someday. We want to have faith as we have been storing up the truth to share with others, and as we learn our experiences. We don't know, we may be unwittingly being an example that is so helpful to our brother or sister. But that's a part of our life of giving as well. And dear brethren, we'd like to consider, we're going to sing a hymn together. This is going to be 310, Triumphant Zion. Brethren, another gift that we're given, we don't often call it a gift, but we're given the gift of adversity. You know, for the new creature to be transformed, we need difficult experiences. We need experiences to transform us from earthly conditions and ready us for heaven. And so, brethren, the story of the church is one that is like beyond hope, but here God can take some who are so little and nothing and make a new creation out of them. We think this hymn really captures the foes, the besetments that we have, but also the great victory that awaits the church and the great privilege she'll have then of really being able to give to the world of mankind. Hymn 310. Blessings on mankind. You know, brethren, we're going to have the privilege of introducing them to their Father. Isn't that a high privilege? To tell them the truth about our God and about His Son, Jesus. Now, dear brethren, we started with it is more blessed to give than receive. And you know, brethren, there's an interesting principle in the scripture, and you're all familiar with it. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that waters shall himself be watered. Another expression of that is he that scattereth yet will increase. And then, you know, we wonder about this when you consider it is more blessed to give than receive. And you think about our Father who's continually giving. He must be the most blessed of all. You know, friends, when we partake of the memorial every year, we consider as part of our studies the cup of blessing for which we bless God. You know, our heart devotion, our worship for Him, our desire to follow His principles are such a great blessing to Him. It's an illustration of this principle, he that scattereth increaseth. And friends, like the widow, but this is kind of an amazing story. Elijah comes to the widow and asks for her last little cake. And she has nothing more to eat, but she gives it to him. And what happens? The oil in her jar never gives out. That really illustrates the principle that those who give are always well supplied. Of course, with the things of the Spirit. We'd like to ask Sister Karen Baker now to read for us, He that scattereth increaseth.
Is thy cruse of comfort failing? Rise and share it with another, and through all the years of famine it shall serve thee and thy brother. Love divine will fill thy storehouse, or thy handful still renew. Scanty fare for one will often make a royal feast for two. For thy heart grows rich in giving, all its wealth is living gain. Seeds which mildew in the garner scatter, fill with gold the plain. Is thy burden hard and heavy? Do thy steps drag wearily? Help to bear thy brother's burden, God will bear both it and thee. Art thou stricken in life's battle? Many wounded round thee moan. Lavish on their wounds thy balm, and thy balm shall heal thine own. Is thy heart a well left empty? None but God the void can fill. Nothing but the ceaseless fountain can its ceaseless longing still. Is thy heart a living power? Self-entwined, its strength sinks low. It can only live in loving, and by serving, love will grow.
Now, dear brethren, the world even recognizes something of this principle, that if one is caught up in their trials, doing for others is a very positive step away from what the world calls analysis paralysis. For us, there's even a higher point, though, brethren. When we serve, the Lord returns those blessings. And it's very true. By serving, love will grow. And, brethren, that is... my words fail. Our Heavenly Father is so kind. We have one more poem, and then we'll close with a hymn. We're going to ask Sister Gail Grabner to read Heroes of All Time. And this again returns to the point about love and the relationship between love and giving.
Heroes of all time built thereof. It takes great love to stir a human heart to live beyond the others and apart. A love that is not shallow, is not small, is not for one or two, but for them all. Love that can wound love for its highest need. Love that can leave love, though the heart may bleed. Love that can lose love, family, and friend, yet steadfastly live, loving to the end. A love that asks no answer, that can live, moved by one burning, deathless force to give. Love, strength, and courage. Courage, strength, and love. The heroes of all time are built thereof.
Thank you, Sister Gail. A love that asks no answer, that can live, moved by one burning, deathless force to give. Brethren, your whole course is a preparation to be a great blessing. And, you know, we're practicing now in our giving. But we are part of the divine family, and what a wonderful opportunity that we have every day in that. We'd like to close just with a hymn of praise, and this is hymn number 236 in your book. Hymn number 236, Tell His Worth. You know, when we see all we've been given, it moves us, brethren, to want to share, to tell others of our wonderful Father.
John, to come forward and offer the closing prayer. We will come back together again at 11 o'clock. Brother John.
Our Heavenly Father, Thou who art the giver of every good and perfect gift, and Thou who sparest not even Thy Son for the benefit of Thy creation, Father, we adore Thee and thank Thee so, that we may know Thee and be sons of Thine and be a part of Thy family.